It's such a joy to allow me to come and fellowship with you this morning. Thank you, Grace, for giving me your pulpit and the church allowing me to come and share with you today. There's one thing I want to assure you. You know, one of the things is that I guarantee that I'll finish quick so that you can get ahead of the Methodists and the Presbyterians to the restaurant, okay? I won't keep you long because I've learned a new beatitude. He said, blessed are those who make it short. You shall be called back, okay? So be rest assured that we're not going to keep you long. But thank you. And praise team, you did a great job. You set the tone for me today as if I prepared my sermon with you. And the lady who prayed, where is she? Thank you for your prayers. I mean, you've just spoken things that God placed on my heart to share this morning with you. And I also want to bring you greetings from the Northeastern Mission Field, all the way from Ghana, that you've been supporting us and being part of us. My goal is to plant 2,000 churches in a frame of 6 years. And I started a vision when I turned 60. And now, this year, I'll be 66. And my goal is that by the end, when I turn 70, those 2,000 churches will be celebrated as my birthday gift. And you have been part of this. And since inception of these 2,000 new churches that we are planting, as today we've planted over 400. So we still have 4 more years to finish the rest. And your coming, your support, your prayers has made a difference. My people like Abraham and Francis always think about you because what you do in their life. And we will need your continual support. Francis just got a pickup that somebody donated for him. The pickup has arrived in Ghana, and my prayer that we'll be able to get money to take it from the harbor so that Francis, Abraham, and the team can go into the villages to do their work. We have 2 people, one from Nigeria, and one from Togo, who has given themselves to missions, and they are working with us for 2 weeks. And those guys are doing so well. So once again, before I say anything, I want to thank you for your partnership, and I'm looking forward to hold our hands to keep going, that we will celebrate these 2,000 churches that we are planting across West Africa very soon. So thank you so much for all that you have done. May the Lord richly bless you. And I'm looking forward to receive some of you once again back in Africa very soon. This morning, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 14 through 16. The book of Hebrews. Can you put it on the screen for me so that we read it? Thank you so much. And one of the things with me, I'm not like Chris, so I can't stand in one place. I don't have pulpit, so I walk and preach. So is that okay? Can we do business meeting and approve it? We are Baptists, you know. I love that. The only church that set committee to set a committee, you understand? We appoint a committee to set a committee, and that makes me excited about Baptists. I love to be a Baptist. And the good things are good Christian too, so thank you. Now the Bible reads, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. May the Lord add his blessing to his word and open it to us in Jesus' name. You know, this week, this month, there is a whole noise being making about love. And it's been designated month of love, month of Valentine. At my hotel, when I was coming out today, a mother-in-law has taken her grandchild so that the husband and wife can go out for Valentine's Day's love. So there is love in the air and people talking about love. And reflecting on sharing with you today, I just want to understand and go deep with the love that Christ offer to us. You know, in the olden times, there are high priests who do their high priestly job on behalf of the people that God has chosen, that the people of Israel. They offer sacrifice. They do everything so that the people can be reconciled to God. But in this text, the analogy the Hebrew writer was trying to communicate here is that there are a lot of high priests, but they have deficiency. Their love is not absolute. But we have one, and who is he? The Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I love it. You know, he's not just anybody. He's God who has come to be with us in human form. And demonstrating his love in doing his priestly job. So you see, this high priest, this morning with this text, we may be examining three things that out of love we can see this high priest so that we can depend on his love and rely on his love. I mean, I've traveled around the world a lot. There are so many love stories that you can trust. And broken relationships and things, people are struggling. Because in the name of love, people take initiative that are not deep. But here, what do we see? We have a high priest whom God has given us. And that high priest, number one, he's sinless. And what is the basis of him being sinless? So, because of his sinless nature, he is also sympathetic. And not just sympathetic, he is also sufficient for us. Amen. So we have what? Sinless high priest. We have sympathetic high priest. And we have what? Sufficient high priest. We can rely. And his love is deep. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ came into this world. He came to execute God's plan of redeeming us. And the first Adam sinned. And therefore, we need someone who will love us to the extent that he will not yield to sin and becoming a lamb without blemish to be able to offer himself as a sacrifice to redeem us. So, you know, God, Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, I love that. It's a love that initiates. It's a love that has concern about us. It's a love that is causing to be redeemed. we the sinners can be redeemed by that love, power. So that love, Jesus came to live his life and offer himself. And it motivated him to live for us. And went through everything, but yet without sin. Oh, I love that. What do you think about that? Because of you, because of I, because of the world, he did not yield to sin. And you know, within the text, he said he was tempted in every way, just as we are. And you all know the temptation Jesus went through. I mean, if you read Matthew chapter 4, you realize that the devil came to tempt him. All right. He went through every temptation. But he did not yield to that temptation of the devil. Do you know what? Because how much he loved us and want to give himself for us. He wanted to be obedient to the Father's love and focus on accomplishing God's plan and also his love for us. So Jesus' love is for the Father and also for humanity. I love that. Is that right? I mean, you know what? You walk in the world. People say they love people, but that their love is limited. Some to their family, some to their close people. Not everybody that we can love. But Christ yielded himself to the Father and to us. And it's because of Christ's love. I'm standing here this morning. There couldn't be any reason that I can gather all these wise folks this morning and be yelling to you. It is only one thing. Christ's love. That he did not yield to sin, made him sinless, has delivered me from the power of sin and changed my life and transformed me and poured the Holy Spirit we sang about this morning into my life and into your life. And we have become humanity in Christ, and we are one. And you know, I mean, definitely the world is trying, but the only place color difference don't work is in the church. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you. That we all will have that eyes, and Christ's love will motivate us to work together to stay for him. He went through every temptation. I mean, I can outline all the temptation, Matthew 4. I mean, the temptation in the garden. I mean, it was a very tough time. You know, you thought it was very easy. But going to the cross was a tough thing. He left them and went to pray. But when he got to a point, he said, Father, it's not my will, but let your will be done. What a love. What a love. This is the deepest love we can get. We have a sinless high priest. And I encourage you to understand how much you have been loved. You know, one of the things I've realized around the world is that wherever you are loved, you perform very well. Wherever. When there is a pool of love for you to jump in, you become yourself, you live yourself, and you do things the way you are capable to do it. And that is how Christ's sinless love draws us from sin, that we will live our life in him and cause the grace to let us triumph. This morning, you and I, irrespective of where we are coming from, what we are doing, we have a sinless high priest who is embracing us and has shown us love, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. What a love. This love initiates. This love transforms. And this love strengthens us to grow. This is our high priest. Folks, not just a sinless high priest, We also have a sympathetic. And I love that. You know, sometimes when I read these verses, I get so eliminated. I mean, I get so excited. I want to jump high. Why? He is not somebody who don't understand you. I mean, that's the comfort. The Bible says that he was tempted every way just as we are. Oh, man. I mean, the word sometimes, sympathy, is a little bit loose. It is an empathetic love. He jumped into us and experienced what we're going through. So when you come to him at the altar, he understands you. Whatever you are going through, if it's rejection, he has been rejected before. If it is poverty, yes. He has been homeless, name it. Even when he was about to be born, he didn't get a room. So is there any problem you are bringing to him that he doesn't understand? Think about it a minute. We have a sympathetic high priest who comes into our life. And that is why Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, he said, when did he save us? Whilst we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So deep in the pit of sin, he shown us, provided us a love. I mean, some of you don't know my story. I was one of the wicked, wretched person in life. You know, I got converted from Islam 9th December 1991. There was nothing in my life that could have been attracted to church. But whilst I was a sinner, down in the pit of sin, he knew me. He knew who I am. He understands me better. He came right into the pit and met me there. Folks, there is no one who understands you better than this sympathetic high priest. I don't know what you are facing. I don't know what you are going through. You know, what I hate in this world is that when you are telling people, oh, I know exactly. Do they actually know exactly what you are going through? They are just giving you suggestions and things. And you ask yourself, do these people really understand what I'm going through? But the Bible is telling us that. But God proved his own love for us. In that wise, we are still saved. I was just speaking to some people. I said, no, you know, sometimes we preach as if leave your sin and come. Okay? I mean, you are a slave to sin. You've been bound yourself into that. It takes the external power of the power of the Holy Spirit to break that chain and set you free and draw you closer unto himself. He knows you. And that is why we need that presence of love to come. He loves us so much that this sinless high priest who have overcome sin has a victory over sin, defeated sin by the cross, understands you, and he comes into your life right where you are and share, put yourself in his shoes and want to deliver you. That is our message to the world. That is what God has entrusted unto us. That is what Roosevelt needs. That is what Arkansas needs. That is what the United States needs to change. Sometimes, you know, we have governments and other things to give policies and things, but sometimes they don't work. They are all struggling. I mean, I'm coming from Africa, and every day we have AIDS. We have things that people do for us because we are Africans, but it's not working. Because sometimes we don't understand the situation. I pray today that we fellowship and come to this point, we understand that he comes right where you are and meets you. You just need to believe in him and allow him and say, hey, I cannot make it. It is you that transforms. It is you that changes. It is you that makes the difference. Take over from me and let's go. Turn your struggles to him today. He understands your weakness. He's gone through the same thing. And he won the victory for us. I mean, one of the Bible verses that really encouraged me is that he made public spectacle of the devil on the cross. He disarmed him and made him useless. But the devil wants to still operate. It takes him to break every chain of him and set you free from that bondage. This morning, the 15th of April. Yesterday was a Valentine's Day, but today I want to announce to you there is a better love that can save you and make difference in your life. And that love comes from Jesus' love, the Son of God, who has come to give himself for us to be free. And that is the message of the gospel, and that established us. He is a sinless high priest. He is sympathetic, and he is sufficient. Oh, come on. I mean, that part of the Bible, can you give me that verse? The verse number 16. Man, you know what? Let me use this word in a positive manner. I boast, not pride, but I boast in this verse. Now, can you hear it very well? Put the verse there for me, because it's very important. It nails it down here. Okay? Hear what he say. You know, he started therefore. And those of you who are English teachers and grammarians, you know, therefore, something has happened. This Christ, the cross, everything that happened has accomplished by sinless. He went through, was successful, and he sympathized with us. Our weakness, nothing over empowered him. Now he comes to the verse number 16. He says, therefore, you hear that? Let's approach the throne of grace with what? Boldness. Can you respond like I'm in Africa? What are we approach with? Come on, thank you. You have become an African church. Put your hands together for that, you know. I make you feel at home. So, come on. You see, this sinless high priest has overcome sin. This sympathetic high priest has come into your life, changed you, transformed you, forgiven you your sin. He has set you free from every bondage. Now he holds your hand. He said, come on, along with me, let's approach the throne. Now, do you know what stopped us from going to the throne? Sin. So we don't have that much confidence. When we come, sin derails us. And that is why, you know, one of the things, I don't have much time to explain it, but when he forgives us, you know, he explained two things. Our sins are forgiven and our guilt are taken away. You know, sometimes sin can be forgiven, but the guilt can be weighing you. Is that right? So sometimes, you know, God has forgiven you. You have indulged yourself in sinful life. And now you are forgiven. I'm coming home. Coming on to me. You sing this song. You come to the altar and you are praying. And you remember that something that you did. And you begin to realize that your power is going down. The sin has been forgiven, but the guilt is what? Weighing you. But on the cross, he did two things. Okay, if not that, I cannot be a preacher. Because the things I did as a young boy until 31st December 1991, Christ met me. If it is a load, it will weigh me. I cannot even preach the gospel. But you know why I'm free? He sets me free. My sins are gone far away. He's taking it. The sin has been forgiven and the guilt is gone. And I always tell people that there is only one person in this world who can sing praises. You know, just a few minutes to tell you this. Muslims cannot sing praises. Do you know why? They chant. The Buddhists chant. Do you know why? Huh? All the other religions, none of them have praises. The only religion that can sing praises is Christian. Because all the religions, sin has not been forgiven. They are working to pay their sins. But on the cross, my sins have forgiven and my guilt has taken away. And then when I'm working, I have the power to say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that a wretch like me. It takes only one who has come to the cross. So that is why he's saying, hey, let's approach the throne room. We have become children. The door has been opened. We walk confidently into the presence of God and receive what? Grace and mercy. Is that not sufficient? So we have this sinless high priest who is sympathetic, and by him we have sufficiency. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Come on, what a love. A love that takes us from sin. A love that understands and sympathizes with us. A love that gives us sufficiency. So listen to it. Romans 5:5. If you check Romans 5:5, you realize that he makes an absolute statement there. He said, this gives us hope. Approaching the throne room, give us hope. And this hope will not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, so you can hear that this love, the greatest part of this love is that it's a love that is present within us. It's not an outside. It is not somewhere. It's present. And that's why this morning we were singing about his presence coming to us to make the difference. That is the love that has been poured into your hearts. As we celebrate this Valentine's Day and love across the world, God has given us an abiding presence of his love, cementing Jesus' sufficiency in our life. This morning, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what you are facing. I don't know how your life is. But I have something to share with you. The sin can be overcome. You have somebody who is ready to stand with you, and you have someone who can give you all you need. The grace and mercy. I mean, grace is well loaded, and I don't want to speak too much because next time I got to come back. You know, the beginning I told you that two things. And also when a Baptist pastor know that there is a chicken after preaching, he cut it short. Because we all love chicken. And when they are coming Wednesday, please get them some chicken. They will stay longer and enjoy it, okay? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you insight. May God help you to see Christ's love in this passage. These verses collectively point us to a magnificent picture of God, whose love is driving force behind the saving plan powerfully executed through Jesus Christ, our sinless, sympathetic, and sufficient high priest. It is a love that initiates, sacrifices, understands, and ultimately reforms you. May the good Lord give you insight of his will, that you will live for him, surrender for him, and work for him all your life. God richly bless you.